Rosewater. Linda's trailer seemed like a home that might stay somewhere, instead of being blown away like milkweed fluff in a strong wind. She watched me when my father spent his nights working. I liked going there, because she gave me beautiful perfume bottles shaped like animals. The owl still smelled like rosewater, and I would turn the top gently, tenderly removing its head, holding it close to my nose as to not let the roses escape and waste away into the air. This precious moment that night was shattered by angry yelling into the phone, the receiver being slammed into the cradle, and heavy footfalls coming down the hall to me. Linda got down on her knees close to my face and told me to stay in the bathroom. "Never move," she said. "Never say one word," she said. "Don't even cry," she said. I felt bewildered and scared, and we heard him screaming at the front door like a rabid animal. He was ramming himself against the door so violently that it rocked the home I thought was so solid. I pulled my knees into my chest tightly, resting my mouth into the bony groove between them as she left me there alone. I closed my eyes tight because I didn't want to see. I prayed to God to save me, to save Linda. I could hear the sound of fists as they hit her face, and the dull thud of her head as it hit the floor beneath her. I heard the snap of her arm as he broke it like a fragile twig in winter. The thunder of his voice deafened me until all I could hear was silence. I imagined that maybe he knew I was here, that he would come for me next. I sat on the cool linoleum, frozen still as a startled animal. I heard one last kick to Linda's stomach, and a rush of sick air released from her with the sound of retching. The door slammed shut. Linda made no movement, no sound, no crying. I listened hard for the rhythm of breathing, but the ringing in my ears drowned everything out. I sat in my nightgown, unable to move, unable to feel, unable to go to her. I awoke to the sound of my father's calm voice and the faint awareness of pretty red and blue lights flashing and reflecting off the milky textured window panes. I jumped when he touched me, ready to fight with what I had, but my muscles so stiff from immobility and fear that I could not move myself. He moved me through the living room swiftly, trying to shield me from the congealed blood stuck to the golden carpet, but it imprinted on my soul. And the tears came like a tsunami. I buried my face into his neck to feel connected to something. My father carried me down the front steps, and over his shoulder, the sight of the twisted metal of the front door made me shudder. And for a brief moment, I saw Linda on the stretcher, arm fractured at an odd angle, face swollen to cartoonish proportions, blackened and bloodied. I knew then that I would never get to smell the roses again.